Well, it's great to be with you this morning. Thank you for the invitation to come out. I'm glad we were able to make it out physically. We have been Zooming quite a bit, WebExing or whatever we've been using technology-wise, but we have been able to travel a few times. Some of the assemblies and churches are starting to open up, and so we've been able to travel a little bit, and we're glad that you were open to be able to have us be here this weekend. So thank you for that. Good to see some folks coming in online. That's great as well. And we are doing our Bible studies online right now. So continue to pray for us as we do those kind of things. We're seeking the Lord's will as far as making sure we still can minister as He sees fit. And so we've not missed too many beats, I don't think. We have had a few cancellations, and a few things got moved around. And so the schedule is still very flexible, as we might say, with this coronavirus and so on. But we're thankful. And we're thankful for you folks who pray for us and so on. But with that being said, we want to come, and I know Kate actually asked me when I came in this morning, are we looking at the book of Hebrews? And so, and she had remembered. That was pretty good. And that is correct. We're looking at the book of Hebrews together. We've been with that now for the last couple of years, looking at the book of Hebrews. So let's go over to Hebrews, and let's go over to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, let's read together, starting in verse 29. And then we'll do a quick review of some of the things in this section so that you know where we are. And some of you may have not been here for all the sessions we've had, so I'll just give a quick review, and then we'll look at this together. So Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as through dry land, of which the Egyptians, having made trial, were swallowed up. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell, having been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with the unbelieving, having received the spies in peace. And what more do I say? For the time would fail me, telling of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith overcame kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped lions' mouths, quenched the power of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, became strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, made the armies of strangers give way. Women received their dead again by resurrection, and others were tortured, not having accepted deliverance that they might get a better resurrection. And others underwent trial of mockings and scourgings, yea, and of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, were sawn asunder, were tempted, died by the death of the sword. They went about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, afflicted, evil treated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caverns of the earth. And these all, having obtained witness through faith, did not receive the promise, God having foreseen some better thing for us, that they should not be made perfect without us. So we'll see if we can get through that little piece. If not, we have the second session to finish it, right? That's sort of a good one you can do, too. I know you folks are in 1 Corinthians during this Sunday school time, but I was given permission to not have to worry about that since you're in a very interesting part of Corinthians, and we'll let the local folks take care of that. We appreciate that. But also time-wise, it helps me to be able to continue on in this series. So we'll be able to finish, hopefully, this year or perhaps early next year, be able to finish this series in Hebrews, if the Lord will. And so now let's take a look where we've been, just to get a sense, because some of you may not have been here with us. Remember, the book of Hebrews is written to this audience of people who had professed Christ as Savior. They appeared at least to be believers. There's some perhaps that are not among them, as you look at the different verses throughout the book. Or throughout the letter. And so the writer is very concerned that he wants to make sure they know Christ and that their lives should show forth that fact, right? Be a testimony to the fact they do know Christ. And that's really what he wants to show to them. But he has a concern, because if he wasn't concerned, you wouldn't see this kind of letter, would you? Where he questions things and has a lot of rationalization and reasoning from their own scriptures, right? From the Hebrew scriptures. So it becomes very important to see that whole perspective. We went over that before. And so we are in this last section of the book, right? We mentioned, I think I may have given you the color chart way back, right? I gave you a color chart. Now, if you missed it, I apologize. You can always email me. I'd be glad to send it to you. But there's a color chart we gave out, and we saw that the first 6 chapters, or the first half of the book, and then 7 through 13 are the last half of the book, right? And that this last section, right, there's five sections in each half. This last section is chapters 11 through 13, right? They go together, right? And they match up with chapter 6 of the book. The idea of at the end of all his discussion in chapter 5, up through chapter 5, he says, now let us go on, right? On to perfection, he says, right? Chapter 6 becomes like a summary. He says, now after I've said all this, I've told you all about the superiority of Christ and all who he is as a man and as the Son of God and so on, now let us go on, right? He says in chapter 6. Then we get into chapter 7. He goes into the issue of the priesthood and the priest and the sacrifices. Brother read from it this morning a little bit. Brother Paul, the sacrifices, the sanctuary and so on. All these superior things in Christ. And now in chapters 11 to 30, he says, now let us go outside the camp, right? At the end of chapter 13, right? And so you see the whole idea is these sort of match up. He's discussing some things and says, now what are you going to do? Right? Discussing some more things about Christ. What are you going to do? Right? That's really the idea. We've seen the testimony. What are you going to do? And so that's important for us, isn't it? Practically speaking, that if we know Christ Jesus here today, then what are we doing? What is our life like? What is our testimony to the fact that we've trusted Christ? So when we talk about that, when we come to the end of chapter 10, that last section, as it were, before we get to that last section, he ends it up by saying in verse 38, verse 38 of chapter 10, but the just shall live by faith, right? There it becomes the key, right? You see, they can't live necessarily by sight, by physical things, by earthly things, as we've seen earlier this morning as well a little bit. And so he really talks to them about this whole issue of faith and the fact that they need to have confidence in God and so on. I won't go into all the details. But we see then, just before that, that he's basically reviewed how Jesus Christ is the access, right? The new way, we might say. And we saw that in chapter 10, verse 20, right? He dedicated the way through his flesh, right? The veil was rent, and it talks about there in chapter 10. He's saying, now that's the new way, right? Because remember, many of these are Jews, in fact, if not all of them. And so some of them were thinking back to the old way, right? And in fact, Brother mentioned the new covenant this morning, right? Versus the old, I can't remember what brother, but I think one of the brother did. And so the whole issue then is the new way. Jesus provided this new way. And so access by the new way had happened. And the question became, what would their response be? You know, so verses 23 through onward in chapter 10 is what were they going to do? What's their response going to be? And hopefully it would be to hold fast, love and good works, meeting together, and all the things, right, that he expect to see as Christians, right? And we went over all those, of course, already. Encouraging one another and the like. And so those are things we had seen in chapter 10. And so he ends it up by saying, the just shall live by faith. But if you don't do that, he says, of course, you see, at the end of chapter 10, what if you don't do that? Well, you see, then there's only one alternative. That means you're going to leave Christ. You've been sort of hanging in there and enjoying it, but you really don't know Christ. It's not a very good alternative, of course, that he goes into, you know, in verses 24 and onward. It's a very sad situation. And so he brings that out and says, well, there's only one alternative. Either you're going to be a testimony and that shows you know Christ, or you have the alternative, you've rejected him. And which will you do? And so he goes into that. Then you get into chapter 10, verse 32 and onward. And he says, okay, well, now those are the two alternatives. And so, you know what? You made a promising start. You see, he's saying, you know, you did start well. But now the question arises, well, where are you at now? And so that's what he brings out, again, just in summary. And we saw that there. And then, of course, we did end up with the fact, again, there's just the two possibilities, right? You're going to continue on with Christ, or you really don't know him, and when things get really hard, you're going to leave. It's not going to matter. And those are the two things. And then he says, of course, the just shall live by faith. So then when we get to chapter 11, we got all this example, right? In chapter 11, you see that he defines faith in the first couple of verses, and then we went into details on that. We won't go into it now. But then, of course, after that, he says, now let me give you some examples, basically, right? And so he goes on, and we look at the issue in the first few verses, verses 3 onward there. We look at the issue of, the principles, we might say, of the faith, right? You believe those things. And that's true. And then you look at after the principles of the faith, of course, then you have the issues of, the promises and the things that you agree with and so on. You see those in chapter 11. And then he brings in Abraham and he brings in Isaac and the issue of, there are challenges, of course, in chapter 11, right? Everything's not perfect. There's difficulties in life. And so he gets into that. So you see the different kinds of things he brings out. He brings out all these examples to the believers there, or at least professed believers in the Hebrews. He says, look, okay, here's some examples. I've been telling you all about the stuff in the first number of chapters here, 10 chapters. But now here's the issue. Here's the testimony. Here are the witnesses, we might say. Are you going to follow them? And so that becomes a question. So that's what we saw then in chapter 11, or we started in chapter 11. We went to Abraham. We talked about the promises, of course, starting there in verse 8. And then we saw, starting in verse 17, Abraham again in the issue of Isaac, his sacrifice. There is a sacrifice, of course, in relation to faith and so on. We looked at that up through verse 22. And then we went on a little further. And we saw the issue of Moses in verse 23 onward, and the issue of our motivation, right? We looked at the issue of, that's what we talked about last time, right? What is our motivation? And why do we trust Christ? And what is our motivation for life? And what do we do? And we gave Moses an example in his motivation and talked about that and why he did what he did. He could have stayed with Pharaoh's house, right? Could have had everything, right? Could have had riches. Be great glory in Egypt, right? Moses could have had that, but you see, there's a different motivation, was there? And we talked about that. That brings us then to the portion we just read. And so now we're looking at the issue of verse 29. Moses brings them through the Red Sea, which we covered last time, but I read it here for context's sake. And so we see here, by faith they pass through, right? He's saying, the just shall live by faith. And he says here, by faith they pass through. Right? Now, this is, they got saved physically in this case, right? That is, either you go through and get saved physically, or you'll be destroyed by the Egyptians, right, perhaps, or you'll go back and be slaves of them. And so God saves them physically. Their lives are saved physically by coming through the Red Sea. That's very nice. And so it did take faith, right? If you believed he's going to keep it dry for you as you're going through, you could go. But if you just went in, not really believing that fact, then, of course, things may not go so well. And that's what happened with the Egyptians, right? It says the Egyptians, having made trial, were swallowed up. You see, they didn't believe in God, right? And so they went in, not for the purpose, their motivation was different too, right? You see, they weren't motivated by God's word. They were just motivated by destroying the Israelites. And so they go in, right, thinking, okay, hey, let's just go after them, right? But you see, to cross that kind of sea takes, faith. They didn't have that, did they? And as a result, what happened? It didn't go so well, did it? But isn't that what the writer is really trying to bring out to the Hebrews all along? That things may look may go very well if it's truly you're doing it in a faith. But if it's not in faith, you're doing it in the flesh, or you don't know Christ, then it's not going to go so well. And you end up going back to what you once had. And so now he comes to verse 30. And he says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell, having been encircled 7 days. 7 days. Well, that's interesting. And that was a very strange way of taking the city, wasn't it? Right? They went around, right? They went each day around the city 7 days. And the last day they went around 7 times and blew the trumpets or whatever. And they had a shout, right? Well, that's an exciting way to take a city. Isn't that a little strange? But it was God's word, wasn't it? And if it's God's word, what do? We do it, don't we? That's faith, isn't it? You may look like fools, right? Can you imagine what those people must be thinking inside the city, right? Those people marching around, blowing trumpets or whatever. They're nuts, whatever, right? That's probably what they're thinking. I don't know. But you see, by faith they did it. Even if they didn't agree with it, right? They may not have agreed with it. I'm sure some of the people no doubt murmured about it, no doubt. I mean, we aren't told, right? But I bet you some of them did murmur. Well, why are we going through this process? See? But if it's of God, then we do it. Well, you know what's missing, though, between, I think I mentioned briefly last time that we touch on it, so I better do it before I forget. Between 29 and 30, there's something missing. You see, they pass through the Red Sea, and then with the next verse is all about Jericho. And what's in between? What's all the stuff in between? How many years went between? Well, 40 years, right? There are 40 years in that whole piece, not a single word about that. Isn't that interesting? So we observe then, and that's all we're doing is observing what is there and not there, right? That we observe by silence that, well, the examples that he wanted to use didn't occur, that is, examples of faith, did not occur on the journey, did it? In the wilderness. And that's a sad commentary, of course, it seems, that they weren't willing to show faith, as it were, on the wilderness journey so much. And in fact, it was a very problematic time, wasn't it, on the journey? That they often murmured, he says, these 10 times, and then more beyond that, right? And you know what happened, of course, when they were going to land, they refused to go in, didn't they? And so all that disobedience and so on in the wilderness, and God chooses, of course, not to focus on that, but to just skip over it and then focus on the next step of faith, that is, after they went into the land and they go to Jericho, it seems. Now, there are many other examples he could have used. They went through the Jordan, too, and so on. I mean, there's things they could have used, but God chose these things to help us to see what he's trying to say. They weren't just thrown together. These are very carefully chosen to bring out the point. And so what's interesting there's Jericho, 40 years in the wilderness, nothing said, because evidently there wasn't a lot of things of faith there. There might have been a few. And then in verse 31, by faith Rahab the harlot did not perish along with the, well, my translation says the unbelieving. That's interesting. You see, that's what's this. You see how he's just bringing out these very important truths, right? The issue is, well, the just shall live by faith. That means you have to believe, right? And Rahab, well, Rahab, she hadn't done so well in life, had she? She had her struggles and difficulties in life, a harlot, of course. And no doubt having much pleasure and all that kind of thing that goes with being a harlot, of course. But no loyalty or true love, really, did she? She never had that, it seems. But now she recognizes this God of Israel that can do these things. Like, and she recalls, if you go back to the story, she recalls not what they were doing now, but she's recalling what they did about 40 years earlier, right? Isn't that interesting, right? That Rahab, you know, says to the spies, right? We know, we remember, right? She had heard it and believed, right? She had heard and believed what they had done, what God had done over at the Red Sea. That was 40 years before, but she believed it. And so God says, well, you know what? There's one who believes there. I better save her. And so I think that's why the spies go. I think that's part of the motivation for having the spies. There may be other motivations too. Because really, what the spies say really did all that much. Well, you know, they went and marched around the city and blew trumpets. Didn't have to spy out the city for that, did we? But yet, you know, they did recognize that people were fearful, and that was true. But you see, it's just a great story to look at, that whole issue of Rahab. And God decides, you know what, there's a person to be saved. That person desires and knows me. I'm going to save her. And he sends the spies in, and that's how she gets saved. And God's willing to do that, isn't he, today? He still does it today, doesn't he? Still saves people who desire to be saved. And so, you know, it happens. You may be praying for somebody 30 years. I remember we just had a story recently come through the one of the local assemblies in Nashville. And we've been praying perhaps for 20 or 30 years for an uncle. And we have a whole list of people we pray for at the assembly there that are unsaved. And we get this text message from the lady who had asked for the prayer request for her uncle a few weeks ago. Goes, praise God, he's gotten saved and his life is just completely changed. Completely changed. Right? It wasn't one of these, you know, I'll trust Jesus, see you later. Yeah. That she said is a remarkable change in his life. We know it's happened. Isn't that marvelous? He's still saving today, isn't he? Faith. And I just love the story of Rahab being saved. And you go on, you see then, he's saying these are examples from their own scriptures, right? This is what it's all about. This is what faith's about, say. Believing, right? She did not die with the unbelieving, right? If you go back, you Hebrews, to what you had, you didn't trust Christ, you might die with the unbelieving. But stay with those who believe. It shows that you believe. And it goes on, so he gives these examples. And then he, in verse 32, he goes on and says, now, I'm going to summarize some more for you. Saying, now, were these people perfect? Well, you can read them, you read the names. And we get the positive side first, don't we? People that had the victory, right? These are people that got the victory, it seems, in the first part of this end of this chapter 11. And we won't go into a lot of detail, again, just an overview. But you see, there's Gideon. Was Gideon perfect? Well, no, I don't think so. I mean, you can go look at it if you like in the book of Judges, chapter 6, I think it is. How about Barak? Was he perfect? Well, no, he had his problems too. I can see some of you see that from Judges as well. Oh, Samson, was he perfect? Well, no, you that one you're pretty certain he wasn't. Yeah, okay, see. Jephthah, was he perfect? No, he had his challenge too, his vows and so on, right? You see none of, but they're mentioned here, right? David, was David perfect? No. Samuel might be the closest to the list, right? We don't know much about Samuel as far as negative goes. But you see, that's not the point. The point is they got the victory, didn't they? They got the victory because out of faith. And so he says in this first piece, in verses 32 and 33 there, actually even 34, 35, 32 through 35, basically they got the victory, didn't they? Don't we get excited when we get the victory? When things work out the way we expect them to work, and all goes well, and it's great. And we praise God, don't we? For what he's done. That's faith, of course. But then he says, well, you see, he wants the Jewish believers to see, yes, you do get the victory. But sometimes there appears to be defeat. And so he goes in. You see, he says, starting in verse 36. Verse 35. Women received their dead again by resurrection. Others were tortured. See, now he begins to go the other way, didn't he? He says, now these ones seem to win the victory, but now they're sitting, they got tortured, and they got sawn asunder, and they all kinds of things went wrong, it seems, right? Mockings and scourgings and imprisonment and bonds and stoned and died with the sword and all the way up through verse 38, right? You see, he's saying this is apparent defeat. He's trying to get them to see and get us to see, of course. In our journey, in our life, in this world of a wilderness, a wilderness of a world, I should say, you see this is going to be the reality. That we have the victory, even though there's apparent defeat. There are things that will go wrong, and we may have to die by the sword, perhaps, right? He tells them they haven't done that yet. But, the Lord did, right? Which we know. And so he says, there's apparent defeat. And yet they got the victory in some ways, and he gives examples of that. Notice that when he talks about the apparent defeats, there's no names mentioned, which is sort of neat to see. That he only mentions the names in relation to victory, not in relation to defeat. Because those are just apparent defeats. They physically died, of course, through these various means that are mentioned. And it certainly was a sad situation. And it goes on to say, now some might say, well, who are these people? I mean, the names up in the first part of the victory we know from Judges and 1 Samuel and so on. And we do know that women receive their life from the dead, receive their dead again to resurrection, probably in 1 Kings and whatever. We've seen that example in the Old Testament. Some were tortured, of course, and so on. But then others we don't know much about in the Old Testament, right? The idea of being sawn asunder. Well, we don't see an example of that really. Some suggest by history Isaiah was sawn asunder. Some suggest. And maybe that's true. But whether it was him or not, some were evidently. And so we don't know all, but the names are not given. It's just to show that in that case, with the apparent defeat, there's still yet a victory. And that's where we have our name associated with, the issue of the victory. And so when we go in our wilderness journey, you can see then how he's dealing with the Hebrews. They have had a tough time. And they're on this journey. They've said, oh yeah, we know Jesus is Savior. And they started well, we saw, right? And they got going, and they even allowed some plundering of their goods, and everything seemed to start well. But here it is, who knows how many years later, some suggest maybe 30 years later, that these Hebrews are still having a struggle, it seems. That 30 years early, they started out well. Maybe it's only 10 years or 20 years, we don't know how many years, but early on, they started out well, it seemed. And the testimony seemed to suggest they knew Christ. But now, many years later, it's getting hard. Persecution is getting greater. Remember around this time, this is probably around 65 to 70 AD, right? Not 70 AD, but 65, 68 in there somewhere. Just before probably the Romans come in and destroy the whole place, right? And things are getting difficult. And to be with the Christians is not a good sign. And you lose your job. And you wouldn't have any friends, right? Relatives would disown you and all this, right? I mean, that's what was happening. Can you imagine? And what would they do? That's a lot of pressure, isn't it, brother? A lot of pressure. Difficulty. To have family disown you and so on. I think I may have mentioned to you, we had a girl at college when Barbara and I got saved. There's another girl got saved, Jewish girl. Jennifer, I think was her name. I can't remember. But anyway, I think it was Jennifer. And I think I may have mentioned to you. Her parents disowned her for a while and then actually took her out of college and sent her to a kibbutz over in Israel. So that she might get back to her Israel roots, right? Get rid of her Christian stuff. We never saw her again. I don't know what happened. I pray that she's still doing well. I don't know. You see, that's tough, isn't it? Very difficult for us. And we may not have undergone that kind of persecution, difficulty in our life, but it can happen. And it's a challenge to deal with. And so this is what these people were dealing with. And he says, here are your examples. And he's saying, brethren, it's not going to be easy. You can't expect it to be easy, and if it gets hard, just to go back to what you had. That means that's not faith. Faith says you're going to stick with it right to the end, as he's said elsewhere in the book. It doesn't mean, of course, we won't falter. I wonder, do any of you falter? Any of you have difficulties in life? I think I've asked that question a number of times here in relation to this book. And, of course, I know some of you won't say yes. I'm sure most of us would if I went to you directly, of course. You'd say, oh, yes, I faltered. I may have even sinned this week, maybe, right? Maybe you say that. You see, we do. But the writer understands that, right? But we have a faithful one, don't we? And 1 John brings it out. We have a faithful one. And so, you see, he says, verse 39 now. Now that I've shown you all these examples from your own scriptures, he says. These are right from the Hebrew scriptures. I'm not making up new things, right? This is the new way. But now, here, let me show you the examples of people that believe God the same way, right? Faith. Say. Ones that you'll know, say. I'm not making stuff up, these, basically. He wants it right from their own lives, things they would know very well. And he says in verse 39, and these all having obtained witness through, well, faith. That's the summary of all, isn't it? That every one of them, no matter how much difficulty they had, how well they believed as far as how strong their faith was, the issue was they believed in the salvation, didn't they? And so, no matter what faltering they had, and you can look at Samson, like you said, or Gideon or Barak and so on, I mean, they all had their struggles. David, right? Adultery and so on. I mean, things that you think would be horrible, right? I mean, he had a man killed, right? I mean, but he loved God, didn't he? And he messed up badly, didn't he? And we do sometimes too, don't we? That we love God dearly, no. We love our Lord Jesus. He's done great things for us that we saw this morning as we broke bread together. And yet don't we badly falter sometimes? And so he wants them to understand that these all obtain witness through faith. Yes, they stumbled. He gave good example. He's given examples of people that stumbled. And yet he said, you know what? By faith they persevered and kept on. And they got beyond it because God helped them through it. They believed in God, right? And did not receive the promise, right? So they, you know, Abraham and onward, right? The idea was they would have the land, right, and so on, and they'd have a city. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God, right? Look for a heavenly city, it says in Hebrews. We already looked at in chapter 11. And so they did not receive the entire promise, we might say. God having foreseen some better thing for us. That is, he's saying, well, God had a plan. I praise God he had a plan, right? Because now we're part of it, aren't we? I mean, he could have just, could have finished it off back then, perhaps in some other way, have Jesus come early or whatever and just deal with it and not have a... But you see, he had a plan that the Gentiles too would be blessed. But isn't that what Genesis says? That the Abraham, of course, through Abraham, right, and his seed, right, that all the nations of the earth will be blessed. That didn't really happen. It hadn't really happened, of course, in the Old Testament time so much. A little bit in Genesis, you see a little picture of it. You know, when Joseph's in Egypt and Jacob goes there, you see a little picture of it, right? The Gentiles are being blessed right there, right, when they get taken care of by Joseph and his gang. But that's just a small example of it, of course, the future. When all the nations, and we see some of it today, of course, in that Gentiles are being saved. Many more, perhaps, than the Jewish people are being saved. But there will be a future, of course, when all the nations and Israel itself, as Ezekiel and other places bring out, Zechariah and the like, Isaiah a little bit, bring out, that they'll all serve God, won't they? They'll all come to him, to Jerusalem and so on. There will be a day like that. And they will have received the promise. But you see that it's not going to be them alone. It's going to be us and them, as it were. Right? But they have their perspective. Theirs is an earthly perspective. They will have an earthly kingdom someday. Israel will. That's the reality of it. We have a heavenly perspective, as we know from the church. And praise God that he had this plan. We can be a part of it. And this is what he's trying to say to these Hebrews. That now, how are you going to live your life? You see, we get to, I just have a moment left here, in chapter 12, verse 1, let us therefore, right? Let us also therefore. Well, that means, okay, now based on what I've just said, right? Because you know that term, what is the therefore? Right? You've heard that kind of thing, right? And of course, now he says, let us therefore, based on what I've just said, having so great a cloud of witnesses. Well, what does that mean? Well, you see, some would suggest that there are different ways of viewing this. And so one view is that, okay, well, there's a big amphitheater. And here we are running the race. And all these people are in the amphitheater or in the arena or the stadium, which we can't do right now because of coronavirus, right? And they're all there cheering us on to the end, right? And, well, that's a possibility, perhaps. But I think more so. More in the context is the idea that these here are the ones who have already gone, right? Because hasn't he given them as examples of what? Faith. Here's how these are the people, you know all about them, he says. Look at how they live their lives. And even when they faltered, they got back up because God was with them, right? They got over their sins and so on. And now they had to deal with the consequences perhaps the rest of their lives of their sin. But God still was with them. And he said, you've seen all that. Now, he says, now that we've had this great cloud of witnesses, we've had this testimony go before us, right? I think that's maybe the idea more strongly, right? You've had all these, and I've given them all to you. And there are many, many more, of course. I haven't even told you about that. You can go to your own scriptures, right? You know your own family. And there's those who've gone before, have run the race. They've had a great testimony. And now you are following and you have something to look at, don't you? They've done it before. And so that's why I think is even though the other idea is true in some ways, because they're with the Lord as well. Here we get this sense that he's just talked all about people who have had faith, are examples of faith. Then he says, let us therefore, having this great cloud, right? This group that's gone before us, it seems, laying aside everything else. So basically, they can show us something. But that raises the question then, of course, if they are a testimony, then how about the ones who follow us? Who are they going to follow? Is our life a testimony as we finish up our first session here? You know, what are we doing? How is our life being lived out? And that's a big question, of course, and a challenge, a big challenge to leave with today, isn't it? The idea is, well, how am I living my life? And am I living my life in such a way that it's a testimony to others? That's something to think about, of course. You know, I remember there's a song, a contemporary song, maybe from the 70s or 80s, that Steve Green sings. I think it was written by John Moore, I think it was. Find Us Faithful, right? I don't know if I've mentioned that before. Find Us Faithful is the name of the song. And he talks about, the song is almost like a story as you go through. When the writer wrote it, he's talking about, at the end of our lives and our lives are done, when our children come behind us, will they have seen in what we've left behind that we have been faithful? He talks all about that in the song, doesn't he? It's a beautiful, beautiful set of lyrics. So he talks all about that, so the chorus goes to, the idea of find us faithful, right? Hopefully as we live our lives out, and we see these examples here, we can go back to those examples ourselves and see the challenges of living life in a world that's difficult, of course, perhaps even more difficult today in some ways with all the, unrest and the virus and all the other issues that are going on in our experience today. May we be found by Him to be faithful on our journey. That's perhaps one of the key lessons He wants to bring to them, to remain faithful, to keep on the journey. We'll talk more about that in chapter 12 as we begin that in our next session together after our short break. I think we have a 5-minute break or whatever it is that before we do that. But let's pray and ask the Lord's help. Father, we thank You for the time we've had to be together here this morning in our first session to look at the issue of faithfulness. And how the writer of the book of Hebrews is trying to bring out to these believers, that at least professed believers, the importance of maintaining the race, to continuing on the journey, recognizing they may falter and have difficulties and struggles in life, but that they should remain faithful to Christ, that they might be a testimony to those who would follow them, that they might look unto Jesus, of course, as the author and finisher of their faith. So we ask that You might help us, Father. Here we are many centuries later, you might say, still waiting for Your Son to come to take us home. And yet here we are, Lord, still running the race, trying to be a testimony for those behind us, our children and others in the world. Might we do that today? Lord, it's hard. It's easy to say it, of course. And we might be able to say, oh, very nice thought from the God's Word or whatever. The question is, the issue is, how do we really do it? And so we pray for Your help by Your Spirit, that we might be those who are a testimony, to recognize where we falter, to continue on in our struggles in this life, that we might continue to follow Him. And we give You thanks, knowing You'll help us. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.